lift up the name of Jesus. In some ways, the decision was a no-brainer. When deciding to live for Jesus or for Orlando, I believed Christ's words that his disciple Matthew recorded in Matthew 6:32 and 33. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And when deciding whether to lift up the name of Jesus or to work to build a platform for myself, I believe Christ's words as recorded by his disciple John in John 12:32, and if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. In his death and in his resurrection, Christ would reach far more people than I intended to help if I were to build a platform solely for myself. Moreover, I knew, and I still know, the day will come that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. So I'll read it correctly. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What I recognize today is that even when the decision to follow Christ and live for God is a no-brainer, when I've accepted Jesus as my Savior and my Lord, the execution of such over time requires a continual commitment. I've made the commitment, but life has a way of putting me into a position where I have to work to keep my commitment. I found the lyrics to be true. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days and some sleepless nights. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can hardly see the road. I ask a question, Lord, why so much pain? The reality is, life is made of good days as well as challenging times. The darker it gets in life and society, the brighter the light of God's word, the more challenging it can be to face up to the realities we see around us every day. Jesus was telling the truth when he said to John and his other disciples in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." How do we make the most of our journey of faith? How do we make the most of our journey of faith, keep our head above water and walk on top of our circumstances and be encouraged in our walk with Jesus Christ? Why keep our commitment to God in Jesus Christ when the immediacy of what is around us can have life be unstable? Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. Our opening passage, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, may give us a little bit of insight. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you will find these words. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the few moments that we have this morning, I want to speak from the topic, for the joy of it. For the joy of it. Let us pray. God, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you so much for this opportunity to gather in this place. God, we thank you because I know that you know pray that during this time we would hear a word from you and be encouraged and guided by you. There's no good word that Orlando can speak, but your word, the scripture, is the living word. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to leave here changed, looking more like you, sounding more like you, seeing you more clearly, and seeing ourselves like you see us. Please have your will in your way, even in spite of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anyone could talk about changing circumstances, it would be Jesus the Christ. One day the crowd is shouting Hosanna to praise him. The next day the crowd is shouting crucify him to condemn him. The man with which Jesus broke bread at his last supper meal would be the same man to betray him. The man who spoke to Jesus regarding Christ's upcoming suffering, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you, would be the same man to deny Jesus three times. Yet Jesus, knowing all of this, when Jesus' hour had come for him to fulfill the will of Father God, for innocent Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world, Jesus paused to acknowledge the crossroads. In the most immediate time of, in the most intimate time of anguish, Jesus the Son took a moment with God the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, disciple Matthew recounted this moment in Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 through 39. Then Jesus said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell down on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And Luke says it this way in 24, verses 41 through 44. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And Jesus knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. As it is known, Jesus was crucified. He laid down his life for us all. What did it take for Jesus to stick with God's plan all of the way through? Our opening text may give us a clue. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The author of Hebrews writes to believers as a team captain might write to a team of athletes. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The message is, before us, ahead of us, is a race of faith. Let us run our race with endurance. And like a good leader, the team captain identifies a model after which we can pattern our behavior, Jesus. This is interesting because one chapter before, the author of Hebrews identified by name other examples we might consider, saying in Hebrews chapter 11, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail of me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued mountains, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Even with all of these examples, there's something about Jesus, the author describes, that would benefit you and me today. If we look at verse 2 of chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who is this person, Jesus, our model, our example? Of what is he an example? Our team captain says Jesus authored our faith. Jesus pioneered our faith. Jesus started our faith, and we now follow him. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me just as I imitate Christ. The reason Jesus as author or pioneer is significant is because Jesus is not asking us to do something he hasn't already done. You and I can go anywhere with God because Jesus has already been it. Not only did Jesus start our faith, Jesus finished it too. Be vigilant of anybody who asks you to go on a journey who also doesn't know the ending. Jesus was teaching multitudes who followed him, teaching them on the cost of discipleship. Jesus would say, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Jesus' teaching clarifies for me that we have to know the finished work to be able to count the cost of finishing, and so adequately commit to following him. Jesus didn't just start our faith, he finished too. Jesus didn't just author our faith, he's the finisher too. And how do we know he finished? Look at the text. The last line it says, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul taught us in Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. But I ask for Jesus, what I ask for us, what did it take for Jesus to keep his commitment all of the way through? What does it take for us to keep our commitment all of the way through to the end? In the text, the team captain said about Jesus, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him. Set before him. According to a first century Jewish historian, prizes often were set before athletes to provide motivation. In today's athletics, it's the trophy, a championship ring, prize money, bragging rights, and academics and entrepreneurship and career, is the degree, is the graduation ceremony, the promotion, the fame, the fortune, the recognition, the successful product and business, the IPO, the big house, the expensive car, the job security, the retirement fund. In relationships, it's the commitment, the marriage, the wedding, the friendship, the family, the portrait. The problem today is that if we are not careful, we will put out in front of ourselves goals and prizes that are not worth the pursuit. And we get along in our journey, out in the middle, and are tempted to quit because we realize that we are pursuing things that are not worth the cost of the journey. The show is not worth the cost of a mission. I don't know if you ever started out on something, but once you got to the middle of it, you said, look, this is hard, and I'm looking ahead, and I don't think what I'm going after is worth the journey that I've taken. If I were to get in a little bit of business, I know there are a number of science majors that, yeah, we're going to take that first biology class, that first chemistry class, like, look, it's not worth it. I'm pulling out. I'm doing something else. But for Jesus, the prize ahead of him was the joy set before him, the joy of being reconnected to his Father, the joy of sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, the joy of being Lord and Savior, the joy of bringing salvation available to the world, the joy of everything soon being put up under his feet. This prize of joy enabled Jesus to initiate the faith. But importantly, it enabled Jesus to endure the cross and despise the shame. When you are trying to figure out how you are going to make it through, look at Jesus. When Jesus' disciples and friends forsook him for the joy set When Judas betrayed Jesus, for the joy set before him, Jesus kept going. When they arrested Jesus without cause, for the joy set before him, Jesus kept going. When they spat upon Jesus and laughed at him, for the joy set before him, Jesus kept going. When they whipped Jesus and pressed a crown of thorns on his head, for the joy set before him, Jesus kept going. When they hung Jesus high and they stretched him wide, for the joy set before him, Jesus kept going. When they mocked Jesus on the cross, saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down," for the joy set before him, Jesus kept going. Is anybody else glad that Jesus didn't give into the circumstances around him, but kept his mind focused ahead on the joy that would soon be his? For we know that Jesus was crucified, died, buried, and on the third day, got up with all power in his hands. He conquered death and the grave. What if Jesus had quit, come down off the cross, and avoided it altogether? The team captain of Hebrews is letting us know if we are going to run with endurance our race of faith, we need to have the right example. Jesus is our best example because he finished his race and he ran it well. But not only is Jesus our example, Jesus is also our promise. Jesus is our reward. What we know is at the end, we will look like him. What we know is at the end, we will be where he is. What we know is at the end, there will be no more crying, no more weeping, no more striving, no more sleepless nights. What we know is at the end, we win. Paul says this, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brother, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Life has good days and some challenging days. It takes a commitment to keep our faith journey. Jesus is the pioneer. He is the author as well as the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus as our focal point. Jesus is both our example and the prize. He is the source of our joy. I encourage you to read the book of Hebrews in Revelations chapter 21 and 22. In Revelation 21 verses 1 through 4, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Jude 1, 24-25, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." I'm reminded of the gospel song renewed for the civil rights movement, when those who were enduring hardship and protesting injustice needed strength to continue on. "The only thing that we did wrong was staying in the wilderness too long. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on. The only thing we did right was the day we begun to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on. Freedom's name is mighty sweet. One day soon we're gonna be. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on. Got my hand on the gospel plow. Won't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on, hold on." I want to pause and ask you to think, to write a journal just for 1 or 2 minutes. To what are you looking forward? What is the joy you will set before you? Identify he will set before you. Given us your son, Jesus, as an example. Someone who initiated the faith journey, ran his race perfect to the end. Not only did he start, but he finished. choice right in your love letter to us in the book of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. About what your son did, how Jesus was able to endure the cross, and how he was able to despise the shame of what was meant to be a public humiliation. Please continue to have your will and to have your will.